This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'een. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the end of time. Today I just want to give a brief and important reminder of the most important act of worship in the life of the believer. In a hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by one of the Sahaba, "What is the greatest deed? What's the best thing you can do?" Right? Because alhamdulillah in Islam, Allah has given us many good deeds. Fasting, zakah, umrah, hajj, sadaqah, zikr, Quranic recitation. So the sahabi wants to know, what's the best? What's the most important, the best thing I can do? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." To pray salah on time. The best thing any believer can do in this world is to establish the habit of praying the five salah on time. This is number one. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. A bit about salah. Why is it important? And what we are meant to get out of it. Well, why did Allah make salah important? And what spiritual benefits we are supposed to derive from the salah? So salah is the second pillar of Islam. And I want us to think about something, a bit of a paradox in our community. That we know there are five pillars of Islam, right? Belief, salah, zakah, fasting and hajj. All of us take belief very seriously. We take zakah seriously. We take fasting in Ramadan seriously. We take hajj seriously. But for some reason, many people don't take salah seriously, even though it's the second pillar of Islam. Praying salah on time is more important than almost any other good deed besides believing. It is more important to pray salah on time than to fast the month of Ramadan. It is more important to pray salah on time than to go for hajj. It is more important to pray salah on time than to wear hijab. It is the second most important part of our religion after believing. So why is it as a community that we don't see this importance attached to it that we see to the other acts of worship, which are also important? It seems to me that over the past few generations, salah has become just a ritual. It's become something that we've been told to do. We don't know why. We don't know what it means. We don't know what we are saying. And so we don't see that full benefit and value of it. So to understand salah, we go back to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was salah to them? What was salah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered salah to be his form of relaxation, his form of enjoyment, of happiness. He would look forward to salah because it would make him happy. It would bring peace to his heart. The salah of the early Muslims was da'wah. It was da'wah. They did not do what we do today. Nowadays we go door to door, we hand out pamphlets, we hand out books, we debate people. The Sahaba didn't do this. What did they do? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to pray salah. The non-Muslims would see him praying salah and they would convert to Islam. He loved Islam. I mean, it's such a beautiful story. In the early years of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu planned to leave Makkah. In fact, he actually had left Makkah. And many people are unaware that Abu Bakr had left Makkah and he was traveling and looking for another place to move to. And along the way, he met one of the noblemen of Makkah who told him, this man was not a Muslim, but he told Abu Bakr that you are one of our nobles, you're one of the best people in Makkah. Go back to Makkah, I will protect you from everybody else. And so he went back to Makkah with this man, and this man made a deal with the leaders of Makkah that you leave Abu Bakr alone and let him worship, and in exchange for that he'll do something that you all want as well. So what was the deal of the Quraysh? They said, fine, we leave Abu Bakr, we let him live in Makkah. One condition: he must not worship Allah outside of his home. Meaning, we don't want him praying salah anywhere except by his house. Why? Didn't say he mustn't do dawah, he mustn't preach Islam, he mustn't teach Quran. They said he mustn't pray salah in public. That's the only thing the Quraysh wanted. They did not want Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to pray salah in public. So Abu Bakr accepted this deal. And he started praying salah in his garden, because that's technically part of his home. And many of the non-Muslims, they would gather around the house of Abu Bakr and watch him pray salah. And it would move their hearts, and many of them started converting to Islam. And so the Quraysh took the deal further. They said, we said you're not allowed to pray salah in public. We mean you're not allowed to pray outside of your home, not even in your garden. Pray inside your home. Our people mustn't see you praying. And so that became the new rule that Abu Bakr was forced to follow until Allah opened the doors of Hijrah for him to Medina. But the point of the story, what was salah to Abu Bakr and what is salah to us? The salah of Abu Bakr brought people into Islam. When people saw him worshipping Allah, they became Muslim. And for many of us, salah is something we don't even think about. It doesn't cross our mind. We need to pray 5 times a day. How important is praying 5 times a day? If you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the explanation given by Imam Al-Ghazali in his Ihya Ulumuddin, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated that on the day of judgment, if your salah is intact, that's all that matters. If you prayed 5 times a day, you know, to put it loosely, the Prophet said, if you prayed 5 times a day, you're safe. And Imam Ghazali explains this, and he says that a person who prayed 5 times a day throughout their life, who made this a habit, who stuck to it, Allah has promised that person he will put them into Jannah. This is Allah's promise. Allah will not break his promise. And then Imam Ghazali said, someone who did not pray 5 times a day, somebody who did not make this a habit, they did not take it seriously, if Allah wants, he'll forgive them. If Allah wants, he'll punish them. It's up to Allah. So my question is, do we want to take this chance? Do we want to take this chance that leave it to Allah? If he wants to, he'll punish me. If he wants to, he'll put me in Jannah. Or do we want to take up this promise of Allah? Allah has promised Jannah to the people who safeguard the 5 daily salah. It's really that simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship him. If he wanted, that worship could be 50 times a day. If he wanted, that worship could have been all day long. But he made it 5 times a day out of mercy to us. 5 times a day. That's all Allah asked of us. And in return, we get Jannah. We have to start taking this concept of salah more seriously. It is the most important thing in our lives. More important than anything else. You know, many people, when they start practicing Islam, they go about it backwards. They first start growing a beard, wearing a hat, wearing the Arab dress, thinking that makes them a good Muslim. All of that's secondary. Salah is number one. You want to be a good Muslim, start with the salah. That's number one. That's the most important thing. A person who prays 5 times a day and wears shirt and pants is better than a person who wears kurta and topi and doesn't pray. Because the salah is number one. It is the single most important thing in your life. And this is what we need to do. We need to bring ourselves to the level where we treat it as the most important part of our life. So why did Allah make salah important? Well, we said number one is because he created us to worship him. But there is not a single act of worship that Allah has made except that it benefits you and I. The acts of worship don't benefit Allah. Allah is above need. He is independent. Nothing that we can do will benefit him, because he is perfect. Right? Allah is perfect, so nothing that we do is in any way going to diminish or add to him. Rather, salah benefits us. How? Allah mentions 2 things in the Quran. When speaking to Musa alayhi salam, Allah says, "Aqimis salata li dhikri." Establish salah to remember me. The number one benefit of salah, it keeps us remembering Allah throughout the day. You start your day with Fajr, and you pray Zuhr at lunchtime, and you end your day with Isha, and in between you pray your Asr and Maghrib, you are remembering Allah throughout your day. And that keeps you on the straight path. That keeps you from falling into major sins. That keeps you from going astray. Number one benefit of praying 5 times a day, Aqimis Salata li Dhikri. Establish Salah so that you can remember me. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. In another verse of the Quran, Allah gives a secondary benefit of Salah. What happens when you remember Allah throughout the day? What happens? you stop doing major sins. You are less likely to commit a major sin if you pray 5 times a day. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Kabut, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah stops you from immoral deeds and saying bad things. It stops you from saying and doing evil things. So we see in the Quran 2 benefits of salah. Number 1, it will make you more conscious of Allah. Number 2, it will stop you from committing the major sins. And so for many of us who struggle with remembering Allah, who struggle with the temptation to commit major sins, just re-establishing the salah 5 times a day will save you from this. A few years ago, I met a brother from another country, a young man who was telling me his story. And his story really demonstrated this verse, that from a young age, his parents tried to get him to pray 5 times a day. And growing up in a non-Muslim country, he used to go to the nightclubs, he used to do all these things, and he had gotten into the habit of praying 5 times a day. So one night he went with his friends to the nightclub, and it was Isha time. Right? It was Maghrib time or Isha time, and he started looking for a place to pray. And he realized there is no place to pray in a nightclub. And then he asked himself, what am I doing here? Now, if I can't worship Allah here, what am I doing here? And so at a very young age, he made the decision to stop going to the nightclub completely because it is getting in the way of his salah. And so because he was in the habit of praying 5 times a day, that pulled him out of the bad habit of going to the nightclub. Inna salata tanha an yufahshay wa munkar. Salah will stop you from your immoral deeds. You want a barrier between you and sin? Start praying 5 times a day. If you pray 5 times a day, you will over time start letting go of your sins. You will start sinning less. Your sins will decrease. Why? Because you are more conscious of Allah. You are remembering Allah. You are thinking about Allah. And this will pull you away from sins. A third benefit of salah is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he gave a very beautiful metaphor. He said that if you had to go to a river and wash your body 5 times a day, how much dirt will be left on your body? The sahaba said nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that salah is the same. When you pray to Allah 5 times a day, there are no sins left on your book of deeds. Every salah that you pray wipes away some minor sins. Every salah that you pray wipes away minor sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful to us. He has put into our lives so many means of wiping away our sins that really for someone to show up on the day of judgment with a book full of sins, it's only their own fault. Because think about it, when you pray 5 times a day, Allah wipes away your sins. When you make wudu, Allah wipes away your sins. When you give sadaqah, Allah wipes away your sins. When you fast, Allah wipes away sins. When you make umrah, Allah wipes away your sins. When you make hajj, Allah wipes away your major sins. So if you are doing these things, what's left on the book of deeds? It's Allah's mercy. He doesn't want to punish us. He wants to forgive us. So He put all of these things in place to wipe away our sins. Number one being the salah. If you pray 5 times a day, whatever minor sins you fell into in between those salah, Allah forgives them. Because Allah knows it's impossible for a human to be sinless. So the salah, it stops you from doing the major sins, and it serves as a wiping away of the minor sins. And so what's left at the end of the day? A clean slate. You are left with a clean slate. And all Allah asks in return is to pray 5 times a day. That's all. Pray 5 times a day, and in return, Allah will give you all of this. He will give you taqwa. He will give you His remembrance. He will give you protection from major sins. He will give you forgiveness for your minor sins. And He will give you Jannah. Because it's Allah's promise to the believer that if they pray 5 times a day, that they will enter Jannah. It is Allah's promise. Allah does not break His promise. So what I want to talk about for the last few minutes of this discussion is how to get that benefit out of our salah. Because unfortunately for many of us, I hear this a lot from young people. They come up to me and say, I just don't feel the salah. I pray, but it's like I didn't do anything. It didn't change me or benefit me in any way. And I've discussed this in details before. I actually have a YouTube video on this topic that's 1.5 hours in details, how to get that spiritual blessing from the salah. But just to put it very simply in 5 minutes, number one, have a good intention. Number one, have a good intention. Have an intention that I am worshipping Allah for the sake of Allah to become a better Muslim. You see, when you go to the masjid and you just pray and walk out, You know, it's all a blur. But when you make your intention, when you are walking to the masjid and you tell yourself, I am going to worship Allah, and I'm going to do it for the sake of Allah, you now do it more consciously. And when you do it more consciously, you are more likely to benefit from it. Number two, understand what you are saying in your salah. This is most important for benefiting from the salah. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people who are intoxicated, you know, people who are high on drugs or alcohol. Allah says, do not approach salah, do not pray salah while you are intoxicated until you understand what you are reciting. Now the ulama comment on this verse. Allah says that a person must only pray the salah when they understand what they are reciting. Nowadays, so many of us are not high, we're not on drugs, we're not drinking alcohol. But the same effect is there, that we don't understand what we are reciting. We don't know what the Fatiha is. We don't know what Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is. We don't know what Subhana Rabbi al-Azim is. Some of us don't even know what Allahu Akbar is. And so, we don't understand what we are reciting. And as a result, we get no benefit out of it. So if you want to benefit from your salah, understand the salah. Sit with a alim and learn the meaning of the salah. What is Allahu Akbar? Why do we start to Allahu Akbar? Why Surah Fatiha? What does Surah Fatiha mean? The surah I recite, what do these surahs mean? Let me reflect on that. You know, what is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? What is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? What is the benefit of the sajda? What is the benefit of the ruku? Ask yourself these questions. Learn these things. And then your salah takes on a different dimension. Your salah becomes a different kind of spiritual experience. When someone stands before Allah and they say Allahu Akbar, believing that there is nothing greater than Allah, and they fold their hands and they start reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, knowing that Allah replies Hamidani Abdi, knowing that Allah replies to each line, and they engage in a conversation with Allah like this, and then they recite another surah, perhaps something simple like Surah Ikhlas, and they remind themselves Qul Huwallahu Ahad, see, Allah is the only God, He is the only one worthy of worship. Allahu Samad, Allah is above everything, He is incomparable to anything. Lam Yalid Walam Yulad, He has no children and He is not the child of anyone. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is nothing like Allah. He is reminding himself of Tawheed. He is reminding himself of the pure Aqidah, of the correct beliefs. And then when he goes into the ruku and he says the Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, you know, glory be to Allah the greatest, he is reminding himself who is the greatest. It's not me, it's not my business, it's not my nafs, it's not my family, it's Allah. When he stands up, and the Imam says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allah hears the one who praises him. And then he follows that up with praising Allah. Rabbana walakal hamd. O Allah, all praises for you. Our Lord, all praises for you. He feels that praise from his heart. And then he goes down into sajda, about which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, there is no position in which a servant is closer to his Lord than in sajda. Sajda is the time when du'as are answered. Sajda is the time when you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sajda is the position where Allah will grant you whatever you want. And so he goes into sajda and he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory for Allah the highest. You are at your lowest with your hands and face on the ground and you are praising al-A'la, the one who is highest, the one who is above the throne, the one who is above, beyond this creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At your lowest you are praising the highest. When you understand that, and then you pour your heart out to Allah in dua. And then when you finish your salah with the salam, wishing peace upon the people around you on your left and your right, and the angels on your left and right. If you pray salah like that, with understanding, it is a different experience altogether. It is something else. It is something special. It is what it is supposed to be. A spiritual journey. A means of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A means of increasing your remembrance of Allah, increasing your taqwa, increasing your iman. And so my brothers, my advice to everyone, when it comes to the salah, do not neglect it. Start off simple, right? I'm going to give you a very simple way to get started. The simple way to start off is, concentrate on the fard salah. Make your fard salah a habit. If you're not in the habit of praying, start with the fard. So wake up in the morning, force yourself at least to pray 2 rakah when you wake up for fajr. Dhuhr time comes, at least take a break from work to pray 4 rakahs. Asr, same. Maghrib, 3. Isha, no matter how tired you are, at least force yourself to pray 4. Now once this becomes a habit, now you are in the habit, you have fulfilled the fard, the basics are there. What Allah is going to ask you about on the Day of Judgment is there. And now it's a habit. Now you start adding on. Number one thing you add on, the witr. add on the witr. Number two, the two rak'ah of sunnah before fajr. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad had stated that the two rak'ahs of sunnah before fajr are worth more than this entire world in terms of the reward for it. So add that in. And then you start adding in other sunnahs. And you start building up like this. You see, the spiritual journey of Islam is gradual. Allah does not expect you to go from 0 to 100 overnight. It's a gradual journey from the bottom to the top. And so you start off slow and you build your way up. So start off with the basic, with the fard, then add in the witr, then add in the sunnah, and along the way learn the meanings. Sit with the ulama and learn the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. Sit with the ulama, learn the tafsir of the surah you recite. Ask someone to explain to you, what is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? Why do we recite this? What is Rabbana walakal hamd? Why do we recite this? Learn the meanings of these words. So when you are praying with understanding, you are praying with connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are praying with hope and mercy, even our hope and fear and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this makes us better people. And this gives us the benefits of the salah, which we mentioned in the beginning. The benefits of the salah is that it gives us the remembrance of Allah. It protects us from the major sins. It serves as forgiveness for our minor sins. Allah has promised Jannah for those who safeguard the five salah. So we ask Allah to make us from those who pray five times a day. We ask Allah to make us from those who safeguard the salah, from those who will be on the right side on the day of judgment, and from those who understand and value the salah and appreciate it, and who truly experience the beauty and the sweetness of salah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.